Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, beginning reading at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go shew yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass as they went, that they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, and giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Praise be unto God for the hearing and the reading of his precious and eternal word. You know they don't want to say Merry Christmas anymore. They want to say Happy Holidays. And we are noticing more and more that we don't want to say Thanksgiving, but we want to say Turkey Day. It's a great day for families to get together. But people celebrate by gorging themselves of all the finest and best that there is, by watching football games. Nothing wrong with either thing, eating or football, necessarily. They spend their time buying their liquor for Christmas and Thanksgiving and their beer. They spend their time celebrating an entirely secular holiday. So we don't want to say Thanksgiving. You know why we don't? Because it implies that there is a giver. That if we have something to say thank you for, it implies that somebody gave it to you. And so when we come to this place to say Thanksgiving, it's not that it's wrong to have a turkey. It's not that it's wrong to watch football. It's not that it's wrong to have a good time. But it is wrong to forget how come we have all the things we have. And how come we're able to enjoy the best that the world has to offer. Now, when the people came to Virginia, Massachusetts, and there's some discussion about where the first Thanksgiving was held, I think probably in Virginia. The early settlers along the James River, thankful for a successful harvest, had a Thanksgiving time. The traditional Thanksgiving that we think about happened in Massachusetts when the Indians were invited to the celebration. We hadn't got around to trying to exterminate a whole race yet. And the Indians were invited to the celebration and brought deer, brought turkey, and the people who were there supplied all the vegetables and goodies, and they spent their time thanking God. And if you think that God was divorced from the public life of people in America, you need to go back to Jamestown and Williamsburg and Massachusetts and listen to those people. You need to go back and read the Mayflower Compact. You need to go back and read the laws that were passed in those days. First thing the settlers did in 1607 in Jamestown, Virginia, and there was no Jamestown at the time, when they came upon the shore, was to erect the cross and claim the land for the England, but to give praise to God, and there was no doubt who He was, the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord. First thing Christopher Columbus did when he landed in Hispaniola or wherever he landed down in the Caribbean was to erect a cross and give praise to God for a safe journey across the Atlantic. What the people in Plymouth, Massachusetts did was have a feast and a celebration to give thanks to God for what they had done. George Washington declared a day of thanksgiving for the American Revolution being over, the battle being fought, and America being free. Mr. Lincoln declared a day of thanksgiving that became permanent for a thankfulness that the United States was still one nation under God and not two. Thankful that the war was over and the battle was gone. And so we offered thanks and praise giving to God. So it became a tradition in America to give praise to God and thanks to God for what He's done. Woe be unto us as a nation when we begin to take credit ourselves for what we have. We're blessed. We're the richest poor people that's ever lived. We're the best perfumed, the cleanest, the best bathed, the best housed, the best traveled, and the best educated group of people, ordinary citizens, that's ever existed in the whole face of the earth. There's nothing to equal what's happened here in the United States. And we need to not forget that it is the Almighty God who has blessed us to have the things that we have. So when you have Turkey Day this week, let it be a Thanksgiving day. Let it, yes, thank God for your turkey. Thank God for your dressing. Thank God for your ham. Thank God for your pumpkin pies and your scalloped oysters or whatever you happen to have this week. Give praise to God for those that sit around your table. And thanks be unto God that you're not in a land where bombs are falling all over you. We're jittery anymore, but we don't know nothing. We've never been invaded in this country since 1812, unless you count 9/11. We've never had foreign armies tramping on our soil since 1812. Never been invaded other than maybe at Pearl Harbor in World War II, and that was not technically part of the United States other than a territory then. How blessed we've been, how much we have to give praise and to God honor for. But how little, I mean, how grateful do you think God is when He sits up in heaven and looks at America with all of its blessings and we forbid our teachers to teach our students that they were created and tell them they had to be evolving? How grateful do you think God is when He sits up in heaven and watches state after state crumble and declare homosexual marriages to be the norm and okay and legal? How do you think God looks down from heaven when He sees the moral degradation that has taken over so much of the airways and the printed ways and all of the things that we do in America? I have to tell you, God must be saying, where are some grateful people? Where are there some people who are saying thank you for what you've done? We have a wondrous story here that I just read to you. Jesus is on His way to Calvary. He's in the midst of that long trip that He took from northern Galilee to Jerusalem to die. He's traveled almost to Jerusalem, to Bethany, where He raised Lazarus from the dead, and then He retreated back to the edge of Galilee and Samaria. This is where we find Him today, and as He enters a town, we don't know what town, but as He enters this little town, Luke's the only one that tells us this story, and as He enters the town, He's met by a group of people who could not go into the town. They were lepers, and they're all standing in their rags outside of the town, and they know who this is coming down the road. It's Jesus Christ, the carpenter from Nazareth, who is the preacher and the miracle worker. And for the first time in their wretched lives, they have hope. Jesus is coming by. This is our best hope. This is our only hope. If we can attract His attention, just maybe we can get healed. He's healed other lepers. I know there are 10 of us, but He's raised the dead. He spoke to the wind and the waves. Just maybe, if He comes by here and we get His attention, He can help us. Because there is no help apart from this Galilean preacher. So as he comes up there, you're aware they had to put their hands over their mouths like this and cover their upper lip. They're standing out there at the top of their voice. It's amazing how loud we can pray when we need something and how soft we speak when we say thank you. You see, they're out there yelling at the top of their voice. There's 10 of them, but there's only one voice. They're all hollering together. They've all raised their voices together, and they're screaming at the top of their voice because they can't come within the length of the end of this church from him. And they're screaming, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus turns and speaks to them and talks to them. And they tell him they want to be healed. Obviously they do. They have leprosy. Now, you may have never seen a case of leprosy. You live in a country that's clean and good, and you have so much medical attention going on, you just maybe have never seen a case of leprosy. It occasionally does happen in the United States, but it's an occasion. And when it happens, it can be dealt with. But in those days, there was no way to deal with it. And it was a social disease. And people were ostracized. And people were put away from their families. It was a horrible life to live. And they just stumbled around. And I don't know if you know what happens to lepers, but the nerve endings are killed in their hands and their feet. And they stumble around and they stump their toe and they get infections. And their feet are dubbed off till there's not... It's not that leprosy eats them up. Their hands are dubbed off till they're little nubs. It's not that the leprosy eats their hands up. It's that they stick their hands in the fire and they stick their hands in things that hurt them and they get their fingers cut and they lose their hands little by little, but they can't feel it. And they're alone. The only company they ever have are other lepers, and they sort of bind together. And nobody cares what nation they're from. One of these 10 is a Samaritan. In ordinary circumstances, he would not be accepted by anybody. But misery loves company. And these guys are all together, and they're leaning on each other. They're scraping just for barely enough food to keep soul and body together. They can't go to a restaurant or to an inn. They can't go to their relatives' houses and get anything to eat. They have to scrounge around on the outskirts of town and in the garbage places for any little scrap of food they can get. It's horrible. So Jesus turns to these miserable men and they ask for healing. And he agrees to it. But what he says puts their faith to the trial. You see, if you were a leper, the only way you could be declared clean was to go to the priest and offer a sacrifice and let him look at you. And if he saw you were clean, then he declared you healed and you could go back into society and live your life. But until you did that, you couldn't. So Jesus simply says to the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. He doesn't say be healed. Doesn't say anything like that. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, they could have said, but we're lepers. We can't go to the priest. The Samaritan could have said, well, the priest won't look at me anyway because I'm a Samaritan. And they all could have said, but we're covered with leprosy. We're filthy and we're dirty and we're bedraggled. And look at us. How can we go to the priest? But they have faith in what Jesus says. And so when he says, go show yourself to the priest, nobody objects to it. They simply turn around and start running to the priest. But as they get down the road, John looks at Mac and he said, hey, Mac, you don't have leprosy anymore. And Mac says, well, John, you don't either. And they start whooping and yelling and jumping and they're having a time down by the road. Man, they're looking at each other and they're pulling their clothes apart and looking at their chest and their backs and they're looking at their hands that were dubbed off and they're all growed back out. And their leprosy is gone and they're clean. And these guys are having a time. And they're running as hard as they can to get to the priest to show him. Except this one dude. He's a Samaritan. He's despised by everybody because of his race. He can't help it, but they despise him for it anyway. And he turns back and comes to Jesus. And listen, you never can hear 9/10 of the people in this story saying thank you. But there's one guy that's really thankful. And he says thank you just as loud as he said, Lord, have mercy. And when he comes back, he starts yelling and glorifying God and praising God for his healing. And he falls down at the feet of Jesus and he begins to thank him and praise God for what he's done for it. And Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 lepers? You know, 9 and a little guy. He said, didn't I heal 10 lepers? He said, yeah. He said, where are the other 9? And they said, well, we don't know. They've gone to show themselves to the priest. He said, this one has come back, and he's a foreigner. And he's come back, and he's offered praise and thanksgiving to God. Now, I have to tell you, their faith made them whole as they went. And in the end, a priest told, you know, God didn't take it back. In the end, I mean, if I'd have been Jesus, I think I would have said, you're unhealed. You ungrateful people, I'm going to unheal you. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. What he does do is talk to the man who is grateful. 9 of them got a priest to say they were cured. 1 of them got the Son of God to say your faith has made you whole and you're saved. 1 of them's life was changed forever because he came back and said thank you to the Son of God. Glory to God is what he's saying. Now I have to tell you, the hero of this story, other than Jesus Christ, is this dude come back from Samaria. He's the hero of the whole story because he came back to thank him. Do you realize what all he's thanking him for? He said, well, of course, he's thanking him for the leprosy being gone. Yes, he's thanking him for his life back. He's thanking him for himself, for his health, and for his future because he had no future to this moment. His future was the cemetery, pauper's field. His future was to die in abject poverty, neglected, alone, and by the side of the road with no company except a few other lepers. His future was done for. But at this moment, when he comes back to thank Christ, he comes back to thank him for his body, for his health, for his future. Do you thank God for your health? If you don't, you'll get old enough to appreciate it one day, and it'll come back to haunt you. Somebody has said youth has been wasted on young people, and I'm afraid that's the truth. I'm sorry it's the truth, but it's the truth for all of us. Somebody said, wouldn't you like to be 18 years ago old again? I said, no, but I'd like to have my 18-year-old body back. I don't want to be 18 years old. I want to be who I am, know what I know, and everything that I've got. I just want to turn the clock back on this carcass here till I'm 18 years old. I know what to do with it now, amen? I know how to take care of it now. Well, anyway, that's never going to happen, of course. But this guy is thanking God because his body, his health, his future, and his life has just been restored. Now, there's more that he's thanking God for. His social life has just been restored. You see, he couldn't talk to anybody. He couldn't earn a living. He couldn't even go out and work at hard labor and do anything. First of all, the leprosy wouldn't let him. But second of all, the people wouldn't come close to him. They wouldn't let him do anything. He couldn't dig ditches for a living. He couldn't trim trees for a living. He couldn't do anything. He is ostracized from society. He can't go anywhere near any social gathering or any people or anything. He has to stay way out on the end of the world by himself. He's thanking God for his daily bread. He can earn a living again. He can go to work again. He can get a job. He can be productive in life again. How good that is for him. And you know what? He's thanking God for his renewed family life. This guy may have had a wife, but he couldn't sleep with her. He couldn't even go close enough to have a decent conversation with her. He may have had children, but he couldn't touch them. He may have had grandchildren. He couldn't touch them, and they couldn't touch him. He may have had a father and a mother that loved him dearly and that he loved dearly, but they could not come close to him other than 100 yards away or something. What a terrible life it was. So he's thanking God for his family. Have you thanked God lately for your family? I had a spell the other day, and I named every grandchild and every child and everybody nearly that I could think of that was kin to me and thanked God for them. And I meant it. Amen. This guy is thanking God for his restored family, and he's thanking God for his restored spiritual life. He could not go to synagogue, even if he was a Jew. He could not go to temple. He could not go to lessons by a rabbi. He was stuck in the outskirts of no place, praying prayers by himself. He now has a restored spiritual life. He can go to the priest. He can go offer sacrifices. He can go to the synagogue. He can go to the religious classes. He has a spiritual life restored to him. And you know what else he's thanking God for? For all the little things that you don't think about. All the little things like, you know, coming in and your grandchild with its little chubby hand reaching up and touching you. He can never have that. Coming in and seeing, like me, my stalwart 14-year-old who's taller than I am grandson, turning his voice into a man's voice and becoming a man and talking about the ministry and all that thing. He doesn't have that luxury. He can't talk to his grandchildren or his children or his brothers or his sisters or his parents or his wife or his neighbors. He can talk to nobody. All the little things in life that you take for granted. All the little things that are there. I mean, if he was in our day and time, he could not stop at a convenience store and get a pop. But he couldn't drive a car because he could never go among the people to get a permit. You have to understand, this man is in what Catholics call limbo. Not heaven, not hell. Just stuck out there and no life to go on. And this man has to thank God for Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus could have gone to another village. So often you may hear me pray when we're praying Thanksgiving in the morning here. You may hear me pray and thank you, God, for those who brought us the gospel. You have to understand, the gospel was brought to Clinton and Hollow in 1932. You say, well, that's great. You don't understand. We weren't a very good bunch of people in 1932 in Clinton and Hollow. We were a bunch of bootleggers. We were poor. It was depression times. The ground was not producing much, and there had been drought, and all of our people were back in the mountains making liquor, and they weren't making any money at it because they were drinking up the profits and making fools of themselves. And a woman preacher came in this valley with a message from God. She was willing to walk 3 or 4 days from the preacher Harless house in the quarry at Pembroke down the river. Henry Rice told me, said, Brother Eddie, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. But said she walked every day. I'm thankful for somebody that cared enough for those people, because my wife's grandmother and grandfather and mother was there. My grandfather and grandmother and my mother were there. They were caught in a terrible situation. They were caught with their sons and making liquor in the mountains. They were caught with no way to get out to a school beyond the 7th grade in the little school that was here between here and the old church. They had no hope. And yet God sent the gospel to us. And I think all across the world, all across America, back in Hollis, I remember that they were having revivals here, that Sister Effie and some of them went to North Carolina and had a revival, and Uncle Paul and Grandma Marshall and Uncle Ted and some of them went up in West Virginia in a lumber camp and had a revival. We were putting on more than one revival from this church at the same time. And you know where they had for a church up in West Virginia? A boxcar. They opened a boxcar and put seats in it and got a guitar, and they went to having church, and people started getting saved in that lumber camp back up there in the mountains. I have to tell you, folks, God is a good God, and I'm thankful for Jesus Christ coming by my way. He didn't have to save us, you know. We didn't do anything to deserve it, and he didn't owe us anything. But out of his omnipotent omniscience and all that he had, he sent people to preach the gospel to us, to save our damned souls from hell. That's exactly what it did. We were lost and undone without God. And Glenn, I'm thankful every day. I'm thankful for the people. You say, well, they had their faults. Well, of course, they were human beings. They weren't angels. And even angels can have faults. If you don't believe it, take on Lucifer once in a while. You see, my friends, he was thankful for Jesus Christ, because when Jesus healed, I guess that's a good word as any, resurrected Lazarus from the grave, he couldn't go into Jerusalem. It wasn't time for him yet, but they were laying to kill him when he went to Jerusalem. So he retreated back up into Galilee for a little while until the time came that he could be delivered at Passover like he was supposed to be. If that had not happened, if he had not gone back up to this village, if these men had not just happened to be, oh, think about the happen chances that God has put in your life and give him thanks for it. These men just happened to be on the outskirts of town when Jesus Christ just happened to come by. And this man, it's kind of sad when you only got 10% of the people that are thankful enough to say so, as, you know, it's, excuse me, Bucky, it's kind of like the insurance companies. Did you ever notice how loud they holler for your premium and how soft they speak about paying your claims? You must forgive me. This once. But it's this way. They could all holler to the top of their voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. And when it comes to saying thank you, 90% of them didn't say anything. And only 10% gave God glory and gave God praise. I have to tell you, for the Christian, Thanksgiving is more than a day. For the Christian, Thanksgiving is a way of life. When the Apostle Paul concluded the letter to the Ephesians, he talked about our Christian life. And listen to what he said. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Everybody says, hubba, 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 I want to know the will of God. I want to know the will of God. Oh, how often I hear Christians say that. Well, here it comes. What is the will of God? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Well, that's going to cover up a bunch of Thanksgiving. But be filled with the Spirit. This is the will of God, for you not to be drunk on anything else but the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in rock and roll and country. Getting on down with it, brother. Is that what it says? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will for you to live a thankful life. But I have to tell you, if God gives me food to eat today and I turn my nose up at it at the dinner table and throw it out because I don't like it, if God gives me clothes to wear and I'm too obstinate to wear it because it isn't the latest fashion, if God blesses me with something and I don't take care of it, am I living a thankful life? Think about it. Think about living a thankful life. Be thankful when? Always and for what? All things. Well, in another scripture, Paul writes and says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus which is in you. Now, brothers and sisters, I have to ask you, are you the 90% that runs on down the road saying, "Whee! I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean, happy day, I can go back to work"? Are you the 10% that will go back and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, "Thank you. for healing me. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my future. Thank you for my daily bread. You know, Jesus set an example for us. Every time he sat down to eat, he took the bread and held it in his hands like it was precious. And he broke it. And he gave thanks for the bread that he ate. And yet some of us go like a hog at the trough. How many have ever fed hogs? You know how a hog goes to the trough? Both feet in the trough. You can't hardly pour the slop over the fence into the hog trough without pouring it on his head. You know why? I've poured many a bucket of slop on a hog's head. You know why? Because the hog stuck his head in it. And we run to the table and we scurf it up and we never thank God. We're so well fed. You can have almost anything you want to eat in America, even in Giles County. So you want to eat Italian? You can. You want to eat Chinese? You can. You want to eat what? Fast food? You can eat Mexican. And Mexican, and Mexican, and Mexican in Giles County. You can eat all kinds of things. I mean, you have a choice, and you have money to buy it with. Think about it. Are we thankful? Or do we scurf it up like hogs at the trough? Or like the dogs when they're hungry? Brothers and sisters, let us be content with such things as we have, and give thanks unto God. And now, this is a question that this congregation will pass, because we're all redneck country people. How many of us be happy with brown beans and cornbread? Hallelujah. See, I knew you'd pass that test. I knew you'd pass that test. Would you stand? Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come into your presence today with thankful hearts. Father, I'm thankful that in this service we've been able to worship you in song and in music. I'm thankful we've been able to share the Word of God. I'm thankful that we've been able, Lord, to worship you in the Holy Communion, in remembering the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. I'm thankful for your people who are here, and I pray, Father, that as we go out these doors, we'll be a thankful people, that we'll remember our food, our clothes, our breath, our bodies, our health, our homes, the roof over our heads. Thankful, Father, for the bounty that you've given us in this land. And Lord, may we make more of it than Turkey Day. May we truly make it Thanksgiving Day. And may we not only give thanks on Thursday, but let us give thanks always and at all times and in all things for the blessing of God upon us, for the little things and for the big things. Lord, I thank you for blue sky, and I thank you for rain clouds. I thank you, Lord, for rain and for snow and for sleet and for hail. I thank you for wind. God, I thank you for neighbors. I thank you for family and children and grandchildren. I thank you, Father, for a free country. I thank you, Father, that we live in it as thankful people. And Lord, I pray today that you'll instill within this congregation and within all of us. For Lord, I thank you for the building we have to worship you in. Thank you for this place that's been set aside to your glory and honor. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us and go with us and keep us today and every day. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give praise and glory now and forevermore. Congregation said amen. Amen. We invite you as we sing the closing hymn, if you need prayer. Oh, yes. I'd like to talk it over with him. If you need to come up and have a little talk with Jesus, I invite you to come and do that and let Jesus speak to your heart today. If you're not saved, come and be saved. You say, is it complicated? Well, it was if you had to hang on a cross and die and give your life, it would have been pretty complicated. But since Jesus did it, all you have to do is accept it and let him come into your heart and into your life. And we'll be glad as a congregation to join together and pray for you as we can. Let's sing. I'd like to talk it over with you. If you need prayer, would you come?
Once a morning when I'm standing, God's wonderful city, where the light of heaven's glory shall never grow dim. When I shake hands with
Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Come back this evening. We'll have a good time in the Lord. We'll rejoice in the waters of baptism and in those who are following the Lord. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be. You need to follow the Lord. He set the example. He gave us the command, and we are looking forward to it. The water will be real warm by this evening, so you don't have to fear the cool, chilly waters of Jordan. Just enjoy the warm waters of Bethel. Father, we love you today. Love your blessings and mercies, and thank you for your precious people. Be with us and keep us, sanctify us, and use us to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.